Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Really glad that you're with us here today. And joining me is Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, Jill.
Hey, Steve. Great to be with you today.
Same here, and I hope everybody's doing all right and getting through. But, you know, New Life's all about just not just getting through, but getting over things, and not just getting over them, but getting beyond them. And that's what I'm going to be talking about. One of the talks I'll give is all about that at Boundaries, Brains, Boundaries, Battles, and the Bible, which we're doing on December the 5th. Well, I want you to hear what Henry Cloud said about brains, boundaries, battles, and the Bible.
Say it fast.
So here's a little clip from when he was talking about his part in the whole deal.
Hey, New Life. I'm really excited to be part of this workshop. You know, we got some great speakers with Dr. Amen and John and Sheila Walsh and Steve. And I think that if you attend, you're going to be wrapping up 2020 in a great way and setting yourself up for some really good growth in 2021. Now, I'm going to be talking to you about growth has no boundaries. And I picked this topic because growth has no boundaries. We're designed to keep growing, you know, in the ways that we feel, all the clinical stuff like depression and anxiety and all of that stuff where we hurt, as well as all of our relationships and also the performance arena of life, you know, reaching our goals and dreams. So I can't wait to be there, and I really hope to see you there as well. Okay, see you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Henry. So Henry's going to be talking about growth having no boundaries. John Towns will be talking totally different talk about boundaries. And I'll be talking a couple of things. One, the gift of acceptance and what that involves. But then also, how do we fight and win the battles of a lifetime in a lifetime of battles? You can find out all about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or going to newlife.com. If you want to join us here right now on the program, Dr. Jill Hubbard and myself, well, you could call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-229-3000. You call 800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help or if you want to help us, but 1-800-229-3000. I was distracted because I was picking up a piece of paper to remind myself that Lisa Turkhurst is going to be with us on Thursday. So we'll be live in the studio on Thursday. She's going to be talking about her new book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget. And we're going to be taking your calls that day, just like we are today at 1-800-229-3000. So join us on Thursday, and you can call in, and we'd love to talk to you then. But today we want to talk about just about anything that you have on your heart where you're struggling. I think one of the great gifts of New Life has been that we see we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. And this isn't a situation like there's a thing called a pathocracy where a pathological leader leads an organization. And a lot of churches have been deemed pathocracies where everybody's got a problem but the pastor. Well, the pastor has problems too. And all of us here at New Life, we hope that we've been open with you about our struggles too. We're all in this together. But just as some people have studied how to fix a car, we've all been studying, working, and talking about how do people transform and change. That's what we're all about. We're also very grateful that during this horrific pandemic year that we've had some great support from you folks. Thank you so much for doing it. Well, the music says we're going to take a break, and we're going to do that. And when we come back, your calls. Here's the number again, 1-800-229-3000. Glad you're with us here, Dr. Jill Hubbard. And she's the author of Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go over to line two and let's talk to Jamie, Tampa, Florida. She listens on Sirius XM satellite radio there. Hi, Jamie. How are you today?
I'm male, not female, but I'm good.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I didn't know. They didn't say M or F, and so I just made a really dumb assumption.
Yeah.
There. Not the first time.
No, but listen, Steve, you're not the first one. When I call to order a pizza, they say, ma'am, can you help me? I'm like, I'm a guy, not a girl. I don't know what they do it for, but man.
So, what's going on in your life today? How are things going?
I was going to ask you about that because, see, in this pandemic, it seems like a lot of us are watching the news like 24 hours a day, seven days a week, 365 a year. And I noticed that when I watch it, I notice that I'm stressed more. And I don't want to stop watching because I keep thinking, oh, well, I got to be informed. It's something bad happens. I need to know about it. I got to be informed. But how is that affecting my mental health? And what can I do about it? Because people keep saying, oh, Jamie, watch the news. Watch the news is important. Watch the news is important because it tells you what you need to know about the world and this and that. But I'm wondering how is this affecting my mental health? And
Jamie, I can't imagine that it's good for any of us to spend too much time watching the news. And you know, the day of election, I elected that I was going to, from now on, check in on the news. I wasn't going to watch, you know, a couple hours at a time some program because, you know, it's kind of all about the same stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I do think you have to find a way to limit what you're putting into your brain. And so that's very difficult to do. If you're alone, if you're isolated, it's hard to not just turn it on. And so I hope that you could find a way to just say, I don't need to fill my mind with all of the stuff. I just need to check in now and then to see if anything new is happening. Of course, you don't really have to check in because it's going to come up on your phone anyway if anything serious happens. Jill, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, Jamie, you know, you kind of gave us the answer in your question about it. And I think each person has to self-monitor their stress level. And for some people, things like the news affect them more than other people, right? But this constant bombardment, I think for most people, it ends up being too much if it were 24/7. And so are you happier with the time that you spend kind of immersed in the news? Does that make your life better, more fulfilled? And what are the other areas of your life that you're neglecting because of the overindulgence? And what for you would be a healthy balance? Right? Yes, be informed.
Well,
go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Well, Miss Jill, I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay.
I find myself up. Sometimes I'll be up at maybe, like, because I watch so much CNN or whatever news outlet, all up to maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning just pacing the floor. What if I get corona? What if I do this? What if I give somebody corona? What if? And I start, you know, and then I start thinking to myself, man, am I going crazy? Am I just making up ideas in my head? Because, and I think the crazy thing is because we have a news cycle, we have a news cycle that runs 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. It never seems to turn off.
Right.
And I think, I start asking myself, like, am I neglecting my mental health for my physical health?
Hey, Jamie, here's what I'm thinking here when I hear you talk. You're absolutely aware that it's a problem for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. You know, it's just not healthy. You don't have to ask us about that. Second thing is, I sense that you'd like it to be different. That you know, you've got a desire for things to be different, to be better. It would make you happier. Now, here's the tough part. Some people, you know, they're not like you. They don't even know they have a problem. They don't want it to change. You do. But if you don't have this third thing, then you're really no better off than just not knowing you have a problem. And here's the third thing. Willing to do whatever it takes to change. You know, that willingness is the tough part. And I think when we hit something like this, the way you're describing how much you watch it, we have to admit that we have an extreme limitation in this area. That in and of ourselves, by ourselves, we will never be able to fix this problem alone. So what do? Well, we need to get in a support group. There's a coronavirus, though. Well, almost all the support group resources are online and virtual, and you can join a group anonymously even. But I just want to encourage you to, okay, you've done the experiment, you've done the research, you, Jamie, are just not able to limit this, so let's get a buddy. Or let's start working the steps. In fact, I'm going to send you the workbook, and I'll send you Life Recovery Bible, and you can start to work the steps, because they're all about responsibility,
being managing responsible, your life.
Yeah, to yourself, and growing character. But we're never stronger, Jamie, than when we finally say, okay, look, I'm calling you because I need some help here, but you got to be willing
right
to go to the next step.
Because, Jamie, this is obsessive. And, you know, we as humans, we don't like to be out of control. And so we do everything we can to try to be in control or have the illusion of control. And it's kind of interesting, because how we do that often is by focusing on what our worry is. And yet the more you focus on that, the more out of control you feel. And so Steve is talking to you about managing your life, managing the input, and actually through bringing community in, it's also a way of bringing God in. You know, what if we were obsessively praying about what's happening instead of looking to the news to somehow get a sense of control?
Well, it's a great example of when Scripture says, confess your sins one to another, pray for each other that you might be healed. Well, to pray for each other, you have to have somebody to pray with. You have to be open and honest, and many times just opening up, well, that's going to, right there, that openness takes some of the power out of it. So I hope and pray that you will connect around this issue. Recovery group, support group, men's Bible study, anything like
community,
that.
Community, anything that brings you in community, right?
Yeah. 1-800-229-3000 if you want to join us. I'm really glad that Jamie did. Now let's go to Sherry, Denver, Colorado. She listens on our podcast. Hi, Sherry. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. What's on your mind today? What are you going through? How could we help?
The question is that I'm having problems with communicating with my fiancé. When I ask a question or when we have conflict, even if it's, to me, a minor conflict, if it's not something that he agrees with or wants to work through, which is when I ask the question, I want to work through it and discuss it, he says, okay, well, maybe this is not good and we should end it here.
Okay, so yeah. here's the bad news for you. He's right. If that's his response to you wanting to discuss something, then what's his response going to be once he's closed the deal and you're married? I think Jill might have a different insight for you. I hope so.
That wasn't what I was expecting you to say, Steve.
But, you know, here's the thing. We want to save the marriage, before it starts.
Yeah. Yes.
And whenever you acquiesce and say, oh, well, you know, he'll get better once I'm fully married to him. No, that's not true. He won't get better. And so if you say this is not acceptable, the chances increase exponentially that he's not going to do things like this when you're married. But when you just let it go, I mean, you say to him, all right, it's over then. If we can't talk about this now, and you don't care that I want to talk about this, or you're not willing to be present to hear me talk about this, even though it's uncomfortable, then maybe this isn't meant to be. So, and then hearing your response is so callous. Okay, then maybe we just end it. Let's end it. Then he's got something to think about. And when he thinks about it, he's either going to come back to you and say, oh, man, we got to figure out a way to talk about this stuff. Or you're going to discover that his ego, agenda, the way of thinking, whatever it is more valuable to him than giving you the kind of love, respect, kindness, gentleness that you deserve.
Yeah, that's kind of my fear, is that if I don't chase and try to reason with him to say, hey, let's talk, then he'll just, you know, be stubborn and just say, you know, just keep going and not ever reach back. The last time it happened, I said, okay, I'm not going to chase. I'm not going to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't speak for 4 days, and that was the first time in our whole relationship. We've been together almost 4 years.
And so why did you call him after 4 days?
It was that I was just so sad and just kind of broken up about the whole situation. And I kept fighting with myself, saying, well, okay, just let it go. You know, if this is what it's going to be, it's, you know, he's telling you, just like what you're saying, he's telling you what he wants. But yet I'm fighting with myself, you know, saying, no, you know, let's give it another chance. But
can you imagine what would have happened if you had had three girlfriends and you had them come over on day four and you say, you know what, we haven't talked in 4 days. And if I call him, well, it's just going to go right back the way it was. Help me not call this guy. Help me not be the one to call. And if he never calls me, there's the answer that I needed to know before we got married.
Mm-hmm. How would it feel, Sherry, to be married and have that go 4 weeks without him talking to you? Or you've got two little kids and he goes 4 months without talking to you? If he's doing this when people are on their best behavior prior to, how will that go moving forward? I think your fiance lives under the myth of twinship. And that is, we're supposed to be twins in a relationship. We're supposed to think alike and talk alike, and we're never supposed to have conflict. And conflict in his mind means something really, really bad. It's like an all or nothing mentality. We either get along or it's ruined and it's over.
Explaining how he thinks,
Okay. So, you know, I'm wondering, you know, what his upbringing was like. What happened to him where things were just over? And there's, you know, he didn't learn that, you know, actually people who love each other fight. And they talk and they kind of wrestle through, you know, emotionally, and they get through it, and it's better. Right? And they make room for differences because we're not supposed to be twins. Becoming one doesn't mean you become twins.
Yeah, I explained that to him, and I know he came from, you know, his father was abusive, and we're not younger. We both had previous marriages where there was a lot of conflict, and we both had a period in between our relationship where we didn't date for a long period of time. For me, it was just to get my head right and not have another bad marriage. So for me, you know, that's our background. So I figured, okay, with this relationship, we've gone through so much that we should be in a better spot where we can
yeah.
work through these things.
Well,
and it's
okay, so
shocking to me that
if you heard the call with Jamie, it's the same with you. You mm-hmm. know there's a problem. You don't want it to be this way. But are
but
you
that's
willing?
Not enough. Yeah.
Are you willing to surrender this? You're going to be okay if you do. You're going to be okay. With him, I don't know.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterman here. Ever asked the question, whose side are you on? We're on your side. We want the best for you. I'm going to send her, Is This the One? And Take Your Life Back. There are so many people out there that are nice and wonderful and single. And to settle for somebody that is not nice, not wonderful, but single.
Well, he needs to do more work.
He does.
This
and that's
is
what
problematic
you invite him to
for
do.
All relationships, right?
Yeah.
That he would engage in.
Yeah. All right. Hope and pray something we said there might affect you. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we want. Let's go to Walt, Bonham, Texas, and he listens to us on the New Life app. Hello, Walt. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, Steve. I hope you all are doing well, too. Your ministry is really a blessing to me. When I am financially able, I certainly want to join Club New Life. Just right now, I'm just not able to do it, but I'll try
thank
to keep
you.
This brief.
Okay.
Well, thank you, and thank God you people are there. Right now, you're just about the only Christian counseling I get. I'm pretty well isolated due to circumstances.
Mm. Mm. Glad you listened.
The last time I called was a few weeks ago. I was living in Ardmore, Oklahoma. I've since relocated back to Bonham, Texas. My oldest daughter had passed away suddenly and unexpectedly, and the Lord really used you folks to give me some good counsel and help me get through that, and I still listen to that show on the New Life app. What I'm struggling with today is a little bit different. I am a born-again Christian, and I know that I am, but I like to drink beer. And the problem is I'm not one that wants to stop at one or two beers. I mean, I want talking six, seven, eight, nine beers at a time. And I know the Bible says getting drunk is wrong. I understand that. And I'm trying to quit. Today's day four with no beer. And the three reasons I want to quit are, number one, I don't want to deliberately sin against the Lord. Number two, I don't want to cause myself physical health problems, which may become irreversible. I can't afford to drink anymore the way my financial situation is right now. But I think in Revelation, there's a scripture which says, all drunkards shall have their part in the lake of fire. It also says all liars will, too. Can't say that I don't ever tell a lie. When I do, I'm immediate. I'm convicted, and I ask forgiveness. I'm a Christian, yes, but I'm definitely not a perfect person. My question is, when it says all drunkards shall have their part in the lake of fire, does that even include people who have been born again, or is that just talking about non-believers who are drunkards? I'm not sure how to interpret that.
Well, I would interpret that to mean that people who have not accepted Christ as their Savior, and I would just encourage you to look at a different kind of thing. And that isn't,
okay.
Am I going to burn in the lake of fire? But what could I do to go from wanting to feel good drinking beer to feel good about myself, which so far surpasses anything? But when you're dependent on it, and you obviously, if you're, you know, you drink the way you drink, your tolerance is really high. And only alcoholics have that kind of tolerance that can get your body addicted and dependent on it. In and of yourself, you just don't have the power and the strength to stop and then grow. It's not just mm-hmm. about stopping, but it's growing in character. And, you know, to me, that's that part. That's what you're missing out on is the character piece. And if you... Mm-hmm. could just say, all right, how about I just try a meeting or two and see what this support thing is like when I get it. Maybe, just maybe, everything in your life starts to change a little bit. But that's tough.
Good
I mean,
we,
yeah.
You are the third caller aware of a problem. But really, it's questionable whether or not there's a willingness to act on it and change it. Jill, what are your thoughts?
Yeah.
Well, Walt, yeah, you are admitting the problem, but white-knuckling it isn't going to get you through it. And with the isolation that you're talking about, you know, Steve is talking about meetings. Right now they're online. And through the 12 steps, that will give you a way to manage your life. It'll also give you a way to confess, to make amends, and to see how you can live a more godly life. So that you aren't fearing that every sin that you feel out of control with is throwing you into the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a greater confidence in your relationship with the Lord. That there's nothing we can do to separate us from His love when we are His child.
So if a born, and like I said, I know this is no excuse. I just want to clear this one thing. Mm-hmm. I hear everything you're saying. I'm not ignoring you. I know it's a much deeper problem than what I was just mm-hmm. saying. But in other words, if I were to get drunk and drop over dead drunk, I wouldn't go to hell because I got drunk.
Well, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. So
I've done that.
It doesn't say in the scripture that I read, well, unless you fall over drunk before you're able to repent.
Right.
You know, the Bible says He takes our sins.
Yeah, Jesus covers
as
us.
Far as away from us, as far as east is from west, and you start going west, you know, you never start going east. It's infinity, is what He's saying. That's how far your sin is from you.
I was really living a very anxiety filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and so many tough dilemmas here. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible and a workbook with it. I hope and pray you'll use it. Get into a Life Recovery group or start one yourself. It's not that difficult to do it.
Well, and Steve, you know, we were talking about, I feel so bad for Walt because it's pretty scary to think that every time you sin, you lose your salvation, right?
Yeah.
Or that you're stuck in a compulsion that somehow is going to, mm-hmm. you know, take you away from the Lord. It does emotionally, and it does separate us, but it doesn't ultimately.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to, Katie, Oklahoma City. How you doing?
Hi.
Hi there.
Yes. Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. My question is, how do I, or do I even express my worries to my 15-year-old? He's in his first, he wouldn't say they're dating in a relationship with a girl. I don't want to insult him about my worries, I have been going through his phone. There's nothing sexual, but I don't tell him we go through his phone because I don't want him to start hiding. So I do it after he goes to bed. We always keep their phones at night. And they're already saying, I love you. He's already saying, you know, I think you should tell so-and-so about us because you guys are talking a lot. And I think he's so going so fast. And he's only 15. And I've already told him my worries and about my past. And he started crying, saying, thank you so much. And he's really respectful to us. And he even texted her, I don't think we should go fast. But I'm still terrified that they're already saying, I love you, and how much do you think about me versus Christmas? I'm worried he's becoming obsessed because he's very shy, and I think he's just going so fast because he is a shy person with this girl, and he's finally gotten someone to actually talk to, and I don't know how to say that or if I should say anything, or what do you think?
Yeah. You know what I said to my 14-year-old?
No.
I said, hey, listen, I know what it's like to be your age. I was 17 once. That's what I said to my 14-year-old, because it's kind of like if they're 14, they're closer to what it was like for us to be 17 or 16, you know? It's just, it's a different world out there. And I'm just going to say this, and then I'll turn it over to Jill. I think he needs all the connection and talk possible, and it would be great if his dad was involved with that too. But I think it's a matter of... And I was given this advice. Once a week, like your dad, his dad says, once a week, you and I, we're going to sit down together. And it's going to be just a time for you to tell me what's going on, where you are. Are you making any progress? Are you worried about anything? And you're going to tell me about how your relationship's going. And is it going well? Are you afraid of what you guys are up against? Things like that. And and it's not going to be something that he looks forward to, but if it goes the right way, eventually he'll think it's one of the most valuable things ever. Jill, your thoughts.
Go ahead, Katie. What were you going to say?
Well, I remember you guys talk about this book, either Steve wrote it or someone, about dating 20 people, and I kind of mentioned that to him. I'm like, you're 15. You should talk to every single girl. Like, can I emphasize him reading that book, or is that book for adults?
Well, but when you're 15, you do tend to date. I mean, you too tend to find somebody to have a crush on, and then they have a crush on you. You have a relationship versus, oh, I'm sorry, Lucy, I'm in a process of dating 20 people at age 15. So I do think it's not the right thing.
So, Katie, I think I'm glad you're talking to us. And I hope you talk to your friends and your husband. But I think you need to reel back your anxiety. It sounds like you are close with your son, and this is good, and that he's a little bit of a late bloomer here, right? But you know, on target.
Yes.
I like Steve's idea a lot of dad stepping in. And I think because you guys have good rapport, I think to say, you know, this is your first relationship. And so, you know, we think it's great. We're really happy for you. We're, you know, trusting that all the things we've taught you, you will remember. But we want to, you know, kind of walk beside you and help you grow and learn about relationships, because this is a great opportunity to learn that. So instead of coming across, I'm worried, I'm concerned, he's going to go down a wrong trail, which all of us parents do, and think of worst case scenario, right? And try to like control it, or let's keep the conversation going. And this is a learning opportunity and a first relationship. Steve's right. You get infatuated. No, he shouldn't be dating around at 15. Let him just have this experience and let it play out with you guys there as kind of his, you know, guide rails. And
without telling anything I see on his phone, I'm just
right. It's more
without telling it.
Right. Yes. And it's more bring it up in conversation. You know, like getting him to talk about it. Well, how do you feel about her? What do you guys say to each other? How do you think it's going? Okay. Do you feel secure? Do you feel insecure? You know, all these things are normal. You're teaching him about normal, and you're getting him, because it's better if he tells you. You know, now if you overhear something, you know, one time when my son was young, I overheard him making excuses on the phone to a girl. And so when he got off, I said, you know, I'm sorry, I was standing right here, so I heard you. And I'm just wondering, if you're, like, not telling her the truth and making excuses, do you think you really like her? And he's like, oh, Mom, she just comes on way too strong. And it opened up a great conversation to say, maybe this isn't quite what you thought it was, and it isn't the relationship for you.
Hmm.
Right?
Okay. Glad you called. I'm going to send you How We Love Our Kids. And I really do think you've got less to be worried about, but you've got more to talk about. And just like that little guide that Jill gave you there about the things you can be going over, I think it would be really, really helpful. Yeah. 1-800-229-3000 to be on the program. Let's go to Carlos, Miami, Florida, Sirius XM. Hey, Carlos, how are you?
Good, and yourself?
Doing all right. How could we help?
So I caught the program when you guys were talking to Sherry, and I resonated with her a lot. I'm actually married already. I don't have a fiance. I've already taken the plunge. It's 6 years into the marriage. And needless to say, the first 5 years were pretty terrible. We've grown some, and our relationship is better. But how I resonated with her was that, you know, my wife and I, we don't work through conflict. We kind of push it under the rug. And, you know, I've tried to work through it, and it's very difficult. And I almost feel, I feel trapped. You know, I feel, you know, that, you know, emotionally it's like a roller coaster for me. Like, I'm okay, but then it all builds up, and you know, I really got nobody to talk to. So I'll just leave it there.
So what's the question for us then, if that's what's going on back home?
My question is, you know, I mean, obviously you gave her the option to save the marriage prior to getting into the marriage, but I'm already in the marriage. So how can you help me to, what advice do you have for me to develop, because I'm sure you're not going to tell me to get a divorce, but how can I grow the marriage in a healthy way of being able to communicate through problems?
Well, I'm not going to tell you to get a divorce, but I don't want to push you too far here, but have you thought about a little marriage counseling for both of you? Would she
do that? I've been to probably at least two or three, and I'm usually the only one that goes out and finds somebody.
Okay, so
what is your wife scared of?
I don't know. She's very closed. She's not very transparent. I'm the opposite. I'm very transparent. And it's just the conversation just doesn't go well.
And do you guys ever talk about how you talk? Instead of the content of an argument, it's like, what happens when one of you feels uncomfortable? And what happens for her? Go ahead.
Usually it's one way. I say what happens when I'm feeling uncomfortable and why I feel like I can't express how I want. And she usually doesn't really give much as to the same.
Okay.
Response.
Okay. And I'm wondering what she hears when you start bringing up something that's wrong, that causes her to shut down, because somehow she's shutting down, Carlos. And I'm not saying that you're doing anything wrong, but something in that interaction is causing her to shut down and to be afraid. And
okay, when
silent.
We come back, I want to talk to you about wet cats, because it has something to do with what you're going through. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Hartman, you're talking to Carlos. Carlos, before you called us, does anybody else feel badly for you like we do? I hate it for you. You know, that this is what you've got, this this, as Jill was saying at the break, this stalemate thing. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when you're a pleaser, you think, oh, you know, well, I'll just go forward, we'll get married, and I'll please them enough for them to change or respond. And then you get married, and they don't. And it's kind of like you're nothing but a wet cat on the sofa, and they don't want anything to do with you, and you just kind of cease to exist as a real life person. And it's just horrible. Jill,
and we become, you know, we regress into our more primitive selves in our closest, most intimate relationships. And you often don't see that until you are in it, because the stakes are so high. And so her walls have gone up, and she's in a protective mode because whatever she fears is intolerable. And so that's why she stonewalls you and keeps you out. But you, Carlos, are the one pursuing. But the more you pursue her, it sounds like, the more her walls go up. And that, you know, that's a problem. And I would want to know from her what you do that scares her away. Like, what would she say? And I think you should ask her, what do I do that scares you from wanting to communicate with me? You know, is it that she hears that you're saying she's bad and that she's a failure, right? You know, I think people often hear things that we don't intend.
With any type of confrontation.
What?
She doesn't do well with any type of challenging.
Okay, confrontation.
Statements.
Okay, so what does she hear that to mean about her if you challenge her?
Probably that she's not good enough.
Okay.
I'm assuming, you know. And really, all I want is, like, I've never been married. So I'm assuming that in marriage you have a confrontation. It may get out of whack, but I think two people in a healthy marriage can come back together.
Yes.
And have a normal, non-toned conversation.
Yeah. But you don't have that, we have to help you, you have.
Right, because, you know, everybody brings into the marriage the stuff that they haven't dealt with, right?
Yeah.
Stuff from their childhood, all of that. And that gets triggered in spades, especially with a person who's avoidant and doesn't want to look at things out of their fear. I think since you've tried marriage counseling a couple of times, I think our marriage intensive workshop could be something that could be really helpful, because we don't pathologize people. It's not about you're bad and I need to take you and fix you. It's about how can we grow as a couple? How can we move forward? And it helps you to see things, because most people say, I've tried everything that I know to try. And that's true, but you don't know everything. And we need others to help shed light. You know, people that are experts like Steve and Mylon and Kay to shed some light and to show you through demonstrations and great teaching that there is a different way. And it's amazing how couples come back and they have renewed hope. And it's not quite so scary. And they, you know, can do it and move forward. So I think if you could get her to do that, and it's online now, like she doesn't even have to leave the house.
It'd be perfect, because it's not like she's got to go back and go back and go back. I mean, hopefully she'll want to do that once we've helped get you guys out of this very, very stuck place.
Well, and I think the approach, Carlos, is you want to learn how to be a better husband.
Yeah.
You want to learn how to meet her where she's at.
Not
to fix her.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have a lot of time, but let's go and let's see if we can talk with Danielle, Atlanta, Georgia, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hi there. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. Don't have a lot of time. I did want to get to your call, so how could we help you today?
Okay, I'll talk fast. I have an 11-year-old daughter, early bloomer, middle school, sixth grade. She is making poor choice in friends. I'm seeing this through text message, just friends with bad language, disrespectful, bullying, a lot of gay friends. And so I don't know how to approach it without being overbearing, but also without turning a blind eye.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So does she see these friends outside of school?
No.
Okay. And so it's all of this influence is over the telephone, over her.
Most of it is. It has been. We've locked that down to where she can't text anybody but her dad and I now. Mm-hmm. But she's still continuing to choose these friends to surround herself with them, even within school.
Well, here's a great phrase, and then I'll let Jill give you some help here. You get curious rather than furious. You really try to start to talk with her in a way that, you know, it allows her to share what she's thinking, feeling, and why these folks have this kind of appeal to her when they go against the very values that you guys have tried to instill in her, and be prepared to, you know, not like exactly like what you hear. Jill, what would you do if this 11-year-old daughter...
Yeah, well, I think, Danielle, you're doing a lot of the right things. I don't think a sixth grader has the right to privacy, so I think that's just a given that you're, you know, still in the thick of things with parenting and guiding, and that, you know, you're trying to teach her a way that you believe is best. And, but I like the idea, Steve, you know, you always want to try to connect with their heart, and you want to really, really try to understand and let them verbalize. It's less about, you know, telling them what they need to think and do, but hearing what they think, right? And having them kind of play it out a little bit, right? A lot of times, you know, it can be for, you know, very superficial reasons, self-esteem reasons. They want to be with the cool crowd, or they don't feel like they fit with the cool crowd, so they go to the alternative crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so
exactly.
Is that what it is? So that acceptance.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of ways of thinking out there that kind of give the illusion of we really accept you and understand you, whereas others don't. So, you know, talking to her about those issues and also getting her involved in some positive things. So not just, you know, restricting the negative, but let's add some positive arenas and help her to have a greater sense of belonging in those positive areas.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of involvement by the two of you, spending time with her.
All right. Let me send you How We Love Our Kids. I hope that that's going to be helpful to you. And again, all of us, we have a challenge in every relationship, whether it's our kids, spouse, friends, work folks. How do we connect deeper, richer way, more valuable way than ever before? That's what we want to do. That's the challenge. That's what I think God wants for us. Connect with Him. Love Him. Love everybody else like you love yourself. And so it is a challenge. We'll help you with it if you'll call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'll help you today if you'll tune in at 5:00 Eastern Time. If you'll watch right here on our YouTube channel, the New Life YouTube channel, going deeper. I'm talking about procrastination, and I hope it'll help some folks, because procrastination, when you put off getting better, you don't get better. So we'll talk about that. Also, don't forget, Life Recovery Today is on Thursdays at 11 o'clock on the NRB network and right here too. Thank you. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to all of you who listen, watch, and pray for us. We are grateful for you. Hope you have a great day. You're moving toward a wonderful Thanksgiving and the joy we'll all experience getting out of 2020. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.